Okay, it is the first edition of the brand new CBSSports.com college basketball podcast. I'm Matt Norlander, and I'm here with fellow writer-blogger Eric Angevine, who's coming to us from what I hope is somewhat decent Charlottesville, Virginia. How is the weather down there right now?
I'm going to shock you and tell you that it was actually really warm this afternoon. The sun came out and started melting all our snow, so it was really pleasant.
Well, lucky you. I'm up here in Connecticut, and we had like a 2-inch dusting overnight, but I'm actually scheduled to go and cover Syracuse UConn tomorrow. And while I think that game is going to happen no matter what, because I think Syracuse is now in the air and on its way to land in Hartford, I wonder how bad the weather situation is going to be. And actually, I wonder if it's going to be like if Hartford really gets dumped on tomorrow. I wonder if it'll be something like what the Eagles had to do. Remember when they had to postpone that game, and it wasn't, you know, that was a Minnesota game. The Vikings were in town, but they basically said, we don't want people driving on the roads. Like, we don't want to play in front of, you know, 3,000 people. I wonder if that's a possibility, even if Syracuse is in town, if they postpone it. I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone from Syracuse saying we don't think it's safe to drive in snow, because I'm sure they do it all the time, but you never know.
It's true. All right, anyone that's new to the podcast, let's just give a little background here, and let's start with you, Eric. You know, how you got to this point. I guess we can kind of fast forward through the awkward years of your youth, maybe, but if you want to pick it up at the junior prom, that's fine by me.
No, I can tell you how I started out loving college basketball, because I think it matters. I grew up in Kansas. But when I was a kid, I lived in Wichita, and at that time, they had really strong teams at Wichita State with like Xavier McDaniel and guys like that. So I started out being a mid-major fan, and then my family moved to Lawrence. So after that, it was KU all the way. And that kind of gave me that inherent love of both the haves and the have-nots, which I still have today. A couple years back, 2007 to be exact, Marco Anskis had started a blog called Storming the Floor, and he called me up about 2 weeks after he started it and said, I like what you have to say about college basketball. Will you come and work with me? And we've been doing that ever since, even though Marco is now a sports information director and doesn't have a ton of time to work on it. So that was what kind of got me started with writing. I was working in the regular working world and started writing about basketball and loved it, of course, and have gone on from there.
What's interesting is 2007, I feel, is like the year the blog world really blew up. I mean, certain big sites like Deadspin, Sports by Brooks, actually Brooks has been around for like a decade now, but Deadspin and The Big Lead and maybe even Awful Announcing, they kind of kicked off late 05, early 06. But sites like yours and College Hoops Journal, which I started in late 07, that was kind of the big year. And what was actually interesting is I started CHJ Veterans Day of 2007. I only remember it because it's also my father's birthday. But at the time when I was thinking about it, maybe in like August or September, I didn't know Storming the Floor. And as I was just getting ready to start it up, I was like, someone beat me to it. I thought I was going to have like the first one. It's like, ah, someone beat me to it. I think Rush the Court was also
around.
And
Rush the Court was there.
Yeah, Rush the Court and Storming the Floor kind of didn't you two start at like almost the exact same time, and neither of you knew about the other's existence?
Yeah, we had basically already paid for the name. So we were like, well, you know, if we had known about them beforehand, we probably would have picked a different name, because ever since, people have still gotten the two of us confused. But we went in different directions, definitely. They are an amazing, comprehensive news source for college basketball, and they do a lot of analysis, and they're going great.
Absolutely. But so Eric and I have been on with CBSSports.com basically since December. Actually, Eric's first day was Christmas, which was crazy. I started a week before then, and if for some reason you're stumbling upon this podcast on CBSSports.com or through the iTunes Matrix link, that's basically the rundown on us. But enough about that. Let's just talk in general about the sport. Let's just, you know, let's vamp here for a few minutes in this debut of this new version. I've been running the College Hoops Journal podcast for about a year and a half now, and have kind of folded that in, combined it with the CBS Sports version. We're recording this here on a Tuesday afternoon. So, you know, what's on your mind? You want to talk about anything that you've written as of late? Anything you're planning? Let's kind of just, you know, let's have some barroom talk, so to speak.
Well, I got really exciting news today. As you might know, we get a chance to travel to cover some college basketball, and mostly you, me, and Matt Jones have been going to games that are really close to us. And I got the word today from Gary Parrish that he is not going to cover the North Carolina at Duke game, and he would like me to go. So I'm pretty excited about that. I've never been to one of those. That's going to be a big deal.
Nice. Now, is that driving distance to you, or you hop on the bird?
No, I can drive down there. Yeah, okay. I live in Charlottesville, Virginia, so it's just maybe like a 3.5-hour trip down the road.
Oh, that's not bad at all, man.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, so never been? Have you ever been to Cameron Period? Or
nope. No?
Okay.
Nope.
Wow.
Nope.
How about that? Good stuff. Yep. Wow, that's very cool. Yeah, I haven't. I guess the farthest I'm going to drive, I think, is I'm hoping to go to Georgetown, Syracuse next week. I'm all too familiar with the SU campus. I dated a girl there at the early part of the decade, and I have a few friends there. Actually, still have some friends that are up there, so I'm hoping I can crash at a buddy's place and stuff. But while Georgetown SU is actually an awesome rivalry game, it's got nothing on Duke Carolina, which it's not even in a down year, and we can even transition to talking about UNC because there was a game like 2 weeks ago that they didn't play well in. I don't even know if they lost. They might have lost, but you know, Seth Davis was talking about how he was on the Carolina bandwagon, and after that game, he was like, "All right, I'm off. I'm turning out the lights." And I at the time I tweeted, I was like, "It's mid January. Carolina only has one loss. Let's just hold up here." And it was kind of disappointing from a Twitter perspective, which is where we all get so much of our perspective now, for good or for bad, to see everyone hating on UNC. And I was like, yeah, well, Duke's clearly a level above, but there's no reason why UNC can't finish second in the ACC. I've kind of stood strong on that. And now it's looking more and more like that they can do that. What are your thoughts on the Heels?
Well, first of all, I'd like to point out that Seth Davis is a Dukie. So as much as I try to say, you know, like, okay, I'm a Kansas fan, but I'm going to try and divorce myself from that. I think it probably creeps in from time to time. I went and saw, you may be talking about the game that UNC played at Virginia, where they almost lost that game. Basically, Virginia's freshman mistakes let North Carolina back in that game. But North Carolina played sloppy. They had no chemistry, and they really did look bad that day. But it's pretty obvious that those freshmen are starting to come together, and that's partly because Kendall Marshall is being allowed to play a lot more finally. So that's something that fans have been waiting for. It's something I've advocated for. I think he's better than Larry Drew, but it seems to be working out and they're starting to gel. So I think people gave up on old Roy way too early.
Barnes has been interesting. You know, he got a lot of flack, fair or unfair. I'm on the fair side, you know. Yeah. It's crazy expectations for a freshman to be put on the first team preseason All-America. It never happened. So he doesn't perform well at the beginning of the year, and now he's kind of finding his role. But I don't want to so much focus on Barnes as more segue to the team you're too familiar with, Selby. You know, he had that great game, this first game, but he's kind of avoided this. I mean, it helps that Kansas has looked like a better team than Carolina looked, but Selby has kind of avoided some criticism because he's not played up to what people expected. Fair?
Yeah, well, I think it's a little strange that he hasn't gotten more criticism, to be honest, but people are not usually known for giving a guy a break for having sat out 9 games, but I think it makes a difference that that he probably was a little bit behind on what he needed to know. I thought in the game against Texas that Kansas lost, he kind of lost his composure a little bit, and I expected him to be yanked from the game by Bill Self, and Self didn't. And I've kind of gotten to the point where I trust Bill Self's instincts. It seems like he let him play through that really emotional, difficult time and see what he needed to do to kind of recover from that. And I will be interested to see what he can do towards the end of the year, because he's still hasn't been with Kansas all that long.
Let's stay on Kansas, one, because you are an expert in all things Jayhawk, rightfully so. I note it. Look, Kansas is it's same old, same old. You know, we're in February and they're one of the five best teams in the country. You know, it's to be expected. And yet I get this real sense that people don't think Kansas is capable of winning a national title. I don't really understand that. I think it's more than just the fact that Texas has looked so good. Are you with me on that? And if you are, just the sense, not that they can or they can't, I think they can absolutely win a national title. They are, I think they're the most effective offensive team in the country. I could be wrong. I'd have to check the tempo free here. But what are your thoughts on this kind of hesitation to really embrace the Jayhawks as a national title contender?
I think people have always had a little trouble picking the Jayhawks because they tend to have, I mean, even though Marcus Morris is kind of a star on the team, because he's a twin, I'm not sure he's an automatically identifiable face. I think, you know, people look at Marcus and Markieff as a unit almost, instead of one guy who's playing really well, kind of as more of an outside shooter from time to time, and a guy who crashes the boards. But those two together are really rounding into shape at about the same time. And I think it's just it's always kind of difficult the way that Bill Self puts his team together. There's always multiple options of who's going to score on any given night. And I don't think that the general public is so quick to embrace that sort of thing. I mean, when you look at somebody like Jared Sullinger, he's surrounded by great players, but Sullinger stands out at Ohio State. And I think that people really gravitate towards a player like that.
And they are the most effective field goal shooting team in the country, according to KenPom, as of here Tuesday afternoon, 57.9%, and the best two-point shooting team at 58.6%. If you can shoot like that and you can score like that, I'm rarely – and they're the seventh most effective defense against the shot, fourth best overall. I'm not doubting Kansas whatsoever. It's unfair because – and we can talk about March and podcasts down the road, but really quick, unfortunately, coaching contracts are – drawn up or ripped up because of March play. And, you know, Self has won a national title, thank goodness, because had he not, like, let's say Memphis doesn't absolutely collapse, I get a weird sense people would just kind of be like continually holding their breath with Kansas, which isn't fair, because I know it's blue bloods and whatever, and maybe that helps in recruiting a little bit, but you still have to win, and you just have to look at what UCLA has done as of late with Hallen. Like, the fact that Self is continually in this spot is always impressive.
Yeah, and I think about this kind of thing a lot, of course. Over the summer, you know, I work on an annual for Maple Street Press about the Jayhawks, so I analyze maybe a little too much. But looking at how some of the blue blood programs have gone recently, I find it really remarkable that despite the fact that Bill Self might not be the most exciting guy in the world, he is extremely consistent, and the Kansas program has been extremely consistent. They haven't had like a down year like or two like Kentucky has had with Billy Gillespie, or like UCLA is having right now. They've just been soldiering along, winning, you know, 25, 30 games a year in perpetuity. So that's going to, somewhere down the road, that's going to, you knock on the door enough, you eventually knock it down, I guess is what I'm saying.
We can keep it in the Big 12 and talk about Texas, because I'm, you know, I've had a huge man crush on Ohio State since early December, but now Texas is almost challenging that, and God forbid that I have to put both of them in my bracket, like facing each other. Kansas, for good or for bad, they won't face Texas again in the regular season. Texas got them. Thoughts on the Longhorns? As of now, I think they've exceeded everyone's expectation. But you know what's interesting? What are your thoughts on this? I think the going forward, the theme with Texas, largely we've covered about how good they are. I might have to write a post in the next week or so is how they deal with expectation. Last year, 17-0, and they kind of fall apart. Now they got a lot of pressure on them, I feel. Do you think they can handle it? What are your thoughts on Texas?
They look like they can. They certainly look like, you know, I alluded to this in the post that I wrote last night after watching the game, that there were moments where things could have gone the way they did last year, like when Jacobin Brown threw a behind-the-back pass that was intercepted and got yanked off the floor and started getting kind of pouty. He was grabbed by one of his teammates and pulled into the huddle, and it was kind of like, quit being a knucklehead and learn what to do for the rest of the game. And sure enough, Brown gets back in there and ends up scoring 8 points. Last year, that kind of stuff made the Longhorns completely fall apart. And the other thing that I love, I'm a defense nerd. I love to watch teams choke the life out of other teams. And they really do that. I was absolutely flabbergasted by what they were able to do to A&M twice.
We are halfway through the conference season, unbelievably already halfway through. That's kind of the nature of the sport, though, because the NFL takes up a lot of casual sports fans' attention, takes up my attention. I'm a huge Bears fan. Mm-hmm. And so by the time the Super Bowl comes around, and even when it's over, it's like, wow, okay, suddenly you can see college basketball making the final quarter turn. But let's just talk about the state of the sport in this season. Like, what are your thoughts on the season that's been so far? Has it been, you know, exciting, boring, thrilling? You know, any adjective you want to throw out, let's kind of vamp about what our sport has been like up till now for anyone that maybe is tuning into this and really only started using the remote to watch hoops a week or two ago.
Right. I've been excited because we've seen even just the player of the year race is interesting. If you look at it, we've got two of these really big time programs, and then we've got Jimmer Fredette. You know, you talk about the story of the year. People love the Jimmer show. And I am very pleased to say that my satellite TV provider gives me the Brigham Young channel. So so they actually show some of those out-of-market games, you know, in between lectures from professors and stuff. So it's great to watch Jimmer go. And I've even talked to some of his teammates, and they're all incredibly humble. You know, they're more mature. Some of them are married. They really have a great team on the floor, even though Jimmer is the focus. It doesn't really seem to bother them at all. But it's been kind of an exciting season. I've seen a lot of incredibly athletic plays that made me jump off my couch and stuff like that. I think it's going to be a great postseason, definitely.
Yeah, I think this has been a really good season. I mean, it's going to really take something drastic for me to ever say there's been a college basketball season I haven't enjoyed. But I think this one has been exciting. And there's an, you know, John Gassaway tweeted today something that was right on the money. And sometimes someone will tweet something that it's kind of just banging around in my brain and I never think to say it, but he hit it. He was like, I would love an undergrad to do research on the past 10 years of when, what was it? Someone proclaiming that, the national championship race is wide open or whatever. And then Pomeroy chimed in. It's like, that's exactly right. Like we have this every freaking year, you know? Uh-huh. Yes. Obviously this is just the state of the sport. Like, yes, more than seven teams can win the tournament. This is nothing new. And yet people are lamenting this fact. Like, there's no reason to lament it. I love dynasties, but they're not going to be around in college basketball anymore. If it ever happens again, that's going to be an awesome story that I'm going to embrace because I'd love to see it again. But the fact of the matter is those days are probably gone. So I like the fact that it's going to be tough to predict what's going to happen in the tournament. And that said, I'm telling you, the seeding, the tournament, the selection committee is so good at seeding that – I highly anticipate early March, those columns and those posts that say this is going to be such an unpredictable tournament, and then just watch the seeding largely hold to form, which it normally does anyway. Just because maybe an 11 seed sneaks into the Elite Eight or a 4 seed makes the Final Four doesn't mean in general that the seeding didn't hold to form. So that also does happen. I don't know. It's been very exciting to see all this uncertainty. But to see people that are kind of like, oh, this is just crazy. There's just no good teams. Dan Walken last night was complaining about Texas A&M being this highly ranked team and getting run out of the gym by Texas. Well, that was more really Texas, and that Texas looks really good. So I don't know. It's been pretty good so far, and the fact that we've even got classic teams like Kansas and Duke and Kentucky at the top, that's good for general sports. You know, if it was BYU and San Diego State kind of ranked 1 and 2 and maybe just throw a random decent team like, you know, Syracuse, who's a traditional team, but still if you put them at the top of the rankings, maybe it's not so good for the sport. But I think it's done plenty good.
Yeah, and I think last year's championship game proved that it's not a we only want to see blue blood teams kind of a situation, because if I remember correctly, the TV ratings for the Duke Butler final matchup were pretty high. People didn't tune out because Butler was a small school from Indianapolis. It didn't bother them at all. It just matters, are the teams interesting? Do you like to watch them play? And typically, if you've won enough games to get to the Final Four, you're an interesting team, I feel.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to keep this one short for everyone listening today. I'm Matt Norlander. That's Eric Angevine. We'll also have Matt Jones of Kentucky Sports Radio and, of course, CBSSports.com. He'll be a part of these podcasts as well. But we wanted to hustle and get one out here at the beginning of February. So as we go forward, we'll have certain formats. We'll have ways for you guys and gals to write to the podcast if we're going to have some sort of email or tweet thing. We'll figure all of that out. But this was kind of our first test run. We hope you enjoyed it. And Eric, is there anything that you know that's coming up on deck on your end in terms of writing next week or so that people can look forward to? Or are you just going to tease it with a generality?
I will say, you know, as excited as I am to go to UNC Duke, one of the rivalries that we have locally that I think has a similar intensity is the Old Dominion Virginia Commonwealth rivalry. Mm. And that one's going on next week, and I'm going to attend that one as well. And I'll try to give everybody kind of a feel of what it's like in Richmond when those two local powers go head to head. I wanted to tell everybody what our Twitter handle is.
Absolutely.
Please drop us questions. We'd love to answer them and discuss whatever you want to discuss. It's CBS Sports NCAAB for basketball.
Absolutely. Find us there. Follow us. Drop questions. Very interactive Twitter feed. Look forward to that. And you'll hear from us soon enough. Thanks for tuning in to the first edition of the CBSSports.com College Basketball Podcast.